to share his experience, strength, and hope.
Why, thank you. My name is Jim. I'm a compulsive overeater and a lot of other things. I see some people in this room who've heard my story many times before and some people who haven't. So I'll start at the beginning. I started out as a child. I was a fat kid, and I went through all the normal yo-yos that we've all been through, but I only have 15 minutes, not 15 hours. So I'll spare you most of the tale of woe in four-part harmony. I went on my first diet when I was 10 years old, and I lost about 30 pounds, which was probably about half of what I needed to lose at the time. And then I hit that strange mental blank spot that it talks about in the AA Big Book, where I was off my diet, I was in relapse, and I couldn't get back on. And I gained all the weight back. And then sometime later, I would get sick and tired of being fat. I'd go on another diet. I'd lose some weight. I'd go into relapse. And basically, that was the story of my life. So, anyhow, eventually I discovered Overeaters Anonymous. And, the way I got abstinent was I got a sponsor who told me to go to 90 OA meetings in 90 days. And call in my food every day. And, I was really desperate, so I started doing that. And it's worked. And I'm very grateful to this program that it's taken approximately 110 pounds off my body and kept it off plus or minus 10 pounds for over 30 years now. And that's the miracle of this program, that, it really, does one day at a time provide a lifestyle that has kept me out of the food for a long, long one day at a many long one days at a time. So, and some of those days felt really long, waiting between lunch and dinner too. But as I've often heard it said at meetings, nobody ever starved between lunch and dinner. So, anyways, I can still remember the first time I heard the steps, and there was step one: powerless over food. Now I had a 46-inch waist. And, so I kind of laughed at that one. Yeah, that one's easy. Check. The God stuff seemed a little weird, but, I could sort of tolerate that. The fourth step, getting to study my favorite topic, which is me. I actually was looking forward to that one because I'm a very self-obsessed kind of person. But step five, whoa, tell my deep, dark secrets to another humanoid? Are you kidding? That's when I was really not looking forward to. And like one of the earlier speakers, when I did my first fourth step, there were some things that, I was so paranoid, and the paranoia did not show up in my first fourth step. I was so paranoid thinking that somebody would break into the apartment where I was living alone and find my fourth step and, publish it like on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle. And so some of the things I kind of like put down like in initials and code and stuff. So anyhow, and over the years I've had the privilege of hearing other people's fourth steps, and I've noticed the things that seem to bother them the most are like usually no big deal. But anyhow, except it was a big deal to them. So 6 and 7, we often call those the forgotten steps, and if you read the AA Big Book treatment of it, it's a real con job. There's all this stuff about the inventory and the giving it away, and then you get these two short paragraphs. If you blink, you miss them, and then you move into the amends. Of course, step six is a really hard step. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That's pretty. There's no weasel words in that step. It wasn't to get rid of the character defects as we understood them. No, it was all these defects of character. So, anyhow, and you'll notice that the AA 12 and 12 says step 6. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. Wow. 12 years later, they realized what a hard step that was. But step 8, making a list, that really kind of falls out of the inventory. But actually, step 9. What? Go back and clean up my messes? Are you kidding? I usually spent my time trying to sort of deny culpability and cover up my mistakes. It was not my nature as an addict to actually, admit my part of anything. I mean, I'm really good at, justifying all of my behavior. I always have a really good excuse for anything. And so step 9 was one I really was not looking forward to. And but as with any of the steps, one of the great analogies I've heard in this program is like the steps on a staircase. And if you're standing at the bottom of a flight of stairs, and you're looking up at the 5th step or the 9th step, and you look up at that and say, oh, I could never do that. But we do them a step at a time. After you take the first step, then the second step is only one more step. And the third is only one more step. And each one is only one more step. And besides, if there's a fire inferno raging behind you, taking it one step at a time, you want to do that real fast. And, because one of the things that I learned quickly in OA was that, the steps were absolutely essential to recovery. That, as I, looked around the rooms and I saw the people who had what I wanted and I saw the people who hadn't gotten it yet, the message was really clear. That this is a 12-step program, not a 2-step program, not a 3-step program, it's a 12-step program. And remember that the founders had this slogan called Keep It Simple. And that, they knew that if they made it too complicated, it would just scare people away. And so they made a conscious effort to just sort of distill it down to, the absolute essentials. So even though Bill W. and Dr. Bob were members of a very specific religious group, they realized you did not have to believe in their particular brand of religion in order to recover. And, but the bottom line is if you want to get better, you got to do the steps. And so that's sort of the attitude. It's sort of like, well, okay, I want to stay out of the food. I don't want to put 100 pounds back on my body. So these are the things I got to do. And I also like to sort of push the envelope, cut corners and all kinds of stuff. And, so some of my amends, I procrastinated on a few of them. Some people who had conveniently gone separate ways and I didn't know where they were. And the amazing thing is, miraculously, they would reappear. Oh, okay, I guess it's a sign, God. I want to make amends to that one. Okay, I guess the time is now. And then, not all of them were the highest quality amends. My brother was good and drunk when I made amends to him, and he sobered up later. It was kind of hard to find him sober at that point in time. But anyways, step 9 is where the original promises in the AA Big Book are. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. That's right in the middle of step 9, and it really is true. Because it really is, as these promises say, that our lives are changed and we are mending broken relationships. And that's the part that I don't think we really talk about enough. That, when, an addict like me, that people have sort of expected to act like me, starts going around to people and, kind of admitting my part and trying to fix it, whoa, that sends a strong signal to the entire community that, hey, I'm different. Something's different here. This is not, this is not the way I used to behave. And, that is a very important because it also helps to bring the community onto our side so that they start to expect us to behave in a clean, sober, and abstinent way. And, that too is important. The promise when we finish this step, we feel closer to our higher power. Definitely, these promises do come true. Like others have spoken today, that especially after my first 5th step, I really felt like a member of the human race for the first time. Before that, I kind of felt like some kind of mutant that, didn't really belong on this planet. Beam me up, Scotty, was my motto. And when I realized that, hey, I really am just another bozo on the bus, I've got an incurable eating disorder, nearly killed me. It's not gone away. We don't have any cures here. If we did, we wouldn't be here on a Saturday night, right? But Anyhow, and then we get to step 10. Now, step 10 is really steps 4 through 9 in miniature on a regular basis. That, you know, so step 4 and 5 makes us really aware of the problems, you know, if we do a good thorough house cleaning. 6 and 7 are becoming willing to do, turn them over, work our spiritual program on it. And 8 and 9, we basically clean up the mess. Well, step 10 is sort of continuing to keep it clean. So if you think of it as after the cleaning crew comes through, steps 4 through 9, you know, step 10 is to continue on a regular basis to keep it clean. And, you know, it's a lot easier to clean up messes when they're, you know, fresh and new than before the stains have set in. And the and I learned this, you know, kind of early. I was working in an office in San Francisco, and it was a place straight out of the Dilbert comic strip, if you read Dilbert. I mean, the my cubicle mate was basically probably the prototype of Wally, if you know Dilbert. And the boss really was a pointy-haired boss. I mean, he had the chrome dome here and the hair up here. I mean, really. And the... And one day I had an interaction with a person who everybody in the office agreed was the office jerk. And the, I can't even remember what we were snarling over, but it was like, and the, and I kind of walked away in a huff and retreated to my cubicle and calmed down a bit and realized that, you know, well, yeah, he was a jerk, but I'd been one too. And the, so I, you know, kind of a little bit later went back to his office and said, hey, you know, I'm sorry about that earlier interaction and basically apologized for my part about it. And the guy melted right then and there. You know, for the rest of the time we worked together, he was actually a nice guy. And, you know, so, you know, there really are benefits here that, and this promise that the spot check inventory becomes a habit. It does. This sort of notion. And, you know, what I sort of do is ask myself a set of three questions. You know, where am I physically? Where am I emotionally? Where am I spiritually? You know, physically, is my food clean? Or am I playing any games with my food plan? You know, am I getting enough rest, exercise? Do I need medical attention? You know, just sort of, am I taking care of myself physically? Emotionally, what am I feeling? Am I angry, upset? You know, what's going on there? Because oftentimes, you know, I'll live such a busy day that it's sort of like, whoa, what happened? You know, what went on today? And finally, where am I spiritually? How am I working my program on a daily basis? And I'll often run down the tools. Okay, you know, did I call my sponsor? Did I make my phone calls? You know, how many meetings have I been to in the last week? What kind of service am I doing? The, how's my prayer? How's my meditation? How's my sense of connection to that power of the universe that I call God? I don't write it down. I'm not very good at the tool of writing, at least not program stuff. And so it's sort of like a mental checklist. But I'd say a mental checklist is better than no checklist at all. And I think that about does it. So I will turn it over to Steps 11 and 12.
Okay, last but not least, step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that.